Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Well, judging by the success of movies about ghost schools and the paranormal right now, millions of people seem to be fascinated by the supernatural world. But is that supernatural world real? And is it dangerous? According to Neil Anderson, author of books like The Bondage Breaker, the spirit world is certainly very real, and if we dabble in it outside of God's protection, it can cause havoc in our lives. Last week we began this series with Neil on the seven steps to freedom. Tonight we're going to launch into step one. And by the way, if you missed last week, I hope that you'll head to the website and download it. It's a good introduction as to where we're going for the next 6 weeks. Simply go to openhouseonline.com.au, you'll find it there. But tonight, the first step, which Neil defines as the choice between counterfeit versus real. It's all about spiritual guidance, and Neil's with us again. Hi, Neil.
Hey there.
You know, we see so much reference to the supernatural and the occult in popular culture today. Why do you think there's that interest in spiritual things, particularly right now?
Well, because I think basically we are ourselves, body, soul, and spirit. You know, there's a spiritual reality whether we acknowledge it or not, and frankly, there is no vacuum. And if you leave a vacuum there, I can pretty tell you what's going to fill it up in this world. And so somehow or another, you know, being created in the image of God, and God is a spirit, it's not just this physical body that I live in. I mean, the soul has a much greater dimension than that. And Unfortunately, as we talked last week, I said, you know, it is a battle between good and evil, between the false prophets and the true prophets, and the Christ and the Antichrist, the Father, the Light, Spirit, the Truth. It's and we're in that battle whether we like it or not, and that's why the Apostle Paul says that we have to put on the armor of God and stand firm and resist and take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, etc., because the battle essentially, is for the mind.
We're talking about these seven steps to freedom. The first step that you take people through when they come to either one of your conferences or in your counseling room, whatever it might be, is what you call, the choice between counterfeit versus real. And you kind of fleshed that out a little bit last week. It's counterfeit spiritual guidance versus real, true spiritual guidance. Now, what do you do then? How do you help people understand where they might have actually been, I guess, deceived by counterfeit spirituality?
Well, what we're talking about is really based in my book, Discipleship Counseling. And to get rid of the mystical image of some exorcism coming along and great matters of power, you know, and all the, you know, we've all seen it. And to me, it's very distorting as to what the reality of the struggle actually is. If Satan is disarmed, as Scripture says he was, that the battle really was won at the cross, then we have to do nothing more than to believe that and accept it. But when I sit down to help another person, there's not two parties present. God is always there. Think of it like a triangle with God at the top, and I'm at one corner, and the one I'm trying to help is at the other corner. Every side of that triangle is a relationship. And if I try to play God in their life, that one isn't going to work. If I try to assume that person's responsibility for them, that isn't going to work either. But what I'm really trying to accomplish is to help this person in terms of their relationship with their Heavenly Father. And that's why the ministry of the church is reconciliation. So what this ministry really is reconciliation, helping remove the barriers to their intimacy with God. So in each one of our so-called steps, you probably should have found a better word than that, but issues that are important between me and my Heavenly Father, the one who's bringing the conviction is God himself. It's never me. And I also learned that I can't do their praying for them, so there's a simple petition where they pray and ask the Lord, you know, in what way have I been falsely guided? Now, I have a big God, and I trust that God will be the convictor of sins, and He, Holy Spirit is there. He's going to lead us into all truth, and God does. It's an amazing thing as we go through this, because when they sincerely pray and ask God to guide them, watch what happens. And I don't have to point out anything. They'll just sit there and check off all the things that they were involved in, and which is, you know, anywhere from playing games like Bloody Mary to, you know, the typical occulty-type games, you know, playing Ouija boards, reading the astrological sign, getting guidance from almost everywhere but God.
So just give me some other examples then of what other things do people actually kind of bring up and say, okay, this is what I've been involved in, I now see that it's actually damaging.
Well, some of them are border on creepy, to be honest with you. I mean, people have had actually what appear to be like sexual spirits. Now, they're not figures, and you're not going to get pregnant, but it comes at them for a sensual thing. And boy, I mean, if you actually participated with it, you're stuck, folks. I mean, I promise you right now, you have a major stronghold in your life that's going to have to be dealt with. And we've had people have visitations in the past, and when they pray that prayer, God brings back their memory that some evil parents came in the room one night and offered them sex if they would say they loved them or something like that. Mm. And my gosh, you know, when, realizing that from that point on, it was like they had one cylinder of their engine missing, and things just weren't quite right. I remember one particular girl. She was a lady. She was actually going to Bible school, trying, I think, to earn God's approval, really. And she said, I did this horrible thing. Well, she wouldn't tell me. But the evidence of it was that she was actually pulling out her hair. She couldn't stop doing it. And so finally, near the end of the week, I said, honey, I want to help you. What did you do that you think is so terrible? Well, we got away very private, and it was, in one sense, it's almost laughingly simple. But she said, you know, this thing came to my room one night, and I told her I loved it, if it would leave me alone or wouldn't kill me or something like that. And once she renounced that and just accepted God's love and forgiveness of her, I mean, the whole problem was resolved, just like that. And her husband played football at college, so I'm glad he was on my side. And but he came up after and gave me a big hug. He said, you saved our marriage. So, you know, I had one lady one time double that page. We spent 3 hours. Mm. She tried every blooming occult thing in the world before she finally turned to Christ. And it just took a long, long time, and with a lot of spiritual interference, because once you give your life over to the devil in certain ways, he's going to try to hang on. And again, we learn how never to lose control, just deal with the person. Mm. And but it's a struggle for them.
I mean, do you actually have what's often called manifestations? I mean, do some of these kind of spiritual forces manifest?
Well, in our book, Establishing Counseling, we try to strongly teach how you can totally avoid that. And the way to avoid it, to be honest with you, since this is a battle for the mind, is after I hear their story, I always ask them, I said, would you like to resolve this? Nobody's ever said no. Mm-hmm. And I said, with your permission then, I'd like to take you through these steps to freedom. Now, what's going to happen here is not what I do, it's what you do. But you're just going to be asking God to guide you, and you go through that thing. And when God brings that conviction, boy, they'll just check off all this stuff themselves. I don't ever have to point it out. There is one aspect of this step, however, in severe cases. If they've actually gotten involved in Satanism to a certain degree, chances are they're dissociative and they have major, major problems. There actually is kind of a renunciation process we'll take them through that just shows you the difference between the counterfeit and the real, between the devil and our dear Heavenly Father.
Mm-hmm. And what is that?
If they made it sold out to Satan to a certain way, that is going to be a major struggle. They will not be able to get through that on their own. They're going to need the help of a good church to lead them through that process.
Okay. This is Open House right across the nation. We're talking about the 7 Steps to Freedom with author Neil Anderson. He's talking about finding spiritual freedom from negative spiritual forces, in particular tonight. That's what we're talking about. We're going to be talking about some of the more, almost more kind of down-to-earth things in the weeks to come in these 7 steps. But the first one is about renouncing counterfeit spiritual guidance. And it might have actually been something as strong as actually being involved in some kind of satanic kind of rituals. Now, just for those people, Neil, who are saying to themselves, look, I've got, you know, I've never had anything to do with Satanism or anything like that. Are there any kind of signs, results, or effects in people's lives that maybe they should be, I guess, considering that maybe there might be something, you know, a little bit further back involved? Are there any signs that they should be concerned about?
Yeah, the most common simply is no mental peace. And usually if there's been involvement with something that is truly counterfeit, chances are they're struggling with a lot of negative thoughts, a lot of condemnation, probably blasphemous thoughts, especially if it shows up when you go to church or you listen to Christian music or something like that, and suddenly you're feeling mental opposition inside, or thoughts, you know, telling you to, you know, not to trust him or cursing me or whatever else. So mm-hmm. I always have people share that with me because that their mind is the control center. If they don't lose control, we don't lose control. And as soon as you bring it out in the light, it's exposed. And, you know, demons are like cockroaches. I mean, as soon as the light comes out, man, they aim for the shadows. The last thing you want to do is to be exposed. And so when you just bring it out in the light, the power is broken because it's all a lie. It's all deception. Mm-hmm. And that's why deception is the major battle. If I tempted you, you know it. If I accused you, you would know it. And he is the tempter, and he's the accuser. But if I deceived you, you don't know it. And that's the real, honest-to-God struggle that we're in right now. He is the deceiver. He is the father of lies. And you can just see evidence of this throughout the Bible, where good people, I mean, Eve was deceived, and she believed a lie. I mean, and she hadn't even sinned yet, so don't tell me good people can't be deceived. They can be. And that's why we have to know the truth.
Yes. So, lack of mental peace, what other signs should people be concerned about?
Well, usually what happens is these things show up then as problems in interpersonal relationships, lack of trust, lack of intimacy. But the primary thing, to be honest with you, is no mental peace.
Okay,
it's a mess.
Yes, okay, right. Now, you lead people in a prayer. Like, once you said, you know, you gather together, and then you pray with these people, and you lead them through just, I guess, a time of listening to God, really, and then kind of making sure that they're starting to just bring out into the open those things that God is bringing to their minds, maybe things they've been involved in, or maybe just, like you said, the effects of those things, I don't know, recurring nightmares or something. And then you lead people in a prayer. What kind of prayer do you lead them in?
Well, they're actually praying for God's guidance is what they're doing. To God reveal to their mind, you know, and what have they been done. Sometimes people will honestly look at you and say, well, I've never done any of that. Then they'll pray that prayer and check off about 10 items. That's not uncommon, by the way. Huh. Some they may have just forgotten about it, but by other things, it could be just purely kind of a deceptive problem. When I have them pray, I want you to think about this. You know, God is like a father. He's our father. And suppose you had two sons, and the younger son's always asking the older brother, you know, would you go talk to Dad if I go to the movies tonight or have $10? Now, if you're a good father, would you accept that? No, you'd say, go back and tell your brother to come in here himself. But unfortunately, this is what we're doing in our churches. And a lot of people are left to think that, if I can just get this guy to pray for me. But that really doesn't work, to be honest with you. We all have the same access to our Heavenly Father. And so when I learned that in ministry, my whole ministry turned upside down overnight, and I'll just look at them and have them pray. And the best part about that is when God brings that conviction, he's the one who's going to lead us into all truth. And when that conviction comes from God, I mean, nobody lies to God. They may sit there and lie to me, but they won't lie to God.
Yeah.
It's the most odd thing. But when that conviction comes from God, they'll check it off, and they'll gladly renounce it when they're done. And some of the people never realized that it was even that bad. Like playing with a Ouija board or the magic eight ball, and you say, well, I just, it was just a game. I said, you asked the questions, and you put that in your mind. And I've traced a lot of people whose origin to their problem goes back to those simple little games like that. Or girls having a sleepover, and they'll have a fun little seance or something like that. I remember a major church in the States, the pastor this was kind of new to him, to be honest with you. He asked me, he said, you mean like people actually hear like a voice or thoughts in the head? I said, gee, yes, that's been going on. You know, I was shocked, to be honest with you. But anyway, that was a new thing to him. And I said, but if you're interested, just go talk to the gal who runs your bookstore. And she had kind of the same thought. And then when we were driving home after I explained this one night, she said to her mom, if this man hadn't come, I'd have checked into a psych hospital probably in 6 months. You probably didn't know him. We were having the girls over. We were having seances upstairs in your room, and I've been hearing voices ever since.
Yeah.
But it's resolvable, people.
Once she
found her freedom in Christ, her mind was free,
yes.
And she was clear from that. But she didn't know how to do it until that time. And with all those thoughts, she's thinking, there's something wrong with me. Maybe I'm mentally ill.
For the person who's listening now, and obviously, you know, they can't be right here in, you know, the counseling office with you or anything like that, they're kind of starting to think, okay, maybe I've got something to address here. How would you encourage them to progress from this point on? What would you encourage them to pray? What do they do right now?
Well, this is happening all over the world. People all over the world right now are paying attention to deceiving spirits. And 1 Timothy 4:1 clearly says that. In latter days, people will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceiving spirits. I've counseled hundreds and thousands of people, literally, that are hearing voices, distracting, blasphemous thoughts, to the almost across the board. That's been a spiritual battle. And we've learned to sit down and submit to God, resist the devil, walk all free. I mean, there's nothing new here. So, you know, if you really are tonight aware of the fact he's talking about me, I'd go out and get the bondage breaker is what I would do. And read it, and frankly, there's a chapter in there. That is the steps to freedom we're talking about. And then you can just get alone with you and God and sit down and do it out loud in your room and go through it yourself. Or you can call your church and say, I need some help here. And hopefully they're equipped to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not, have them call us. We'll equip them.
Yeah, indeed. Okay. And is there anything that they can pray? Is there any way that they can kind of start praying along these lines even tonight?
Yes, there is. And it's as honest as you can be. I mean, this is your Heavenly Father. He knows your thoughts and intentions of your heart. He loves you. And you can be honest with him. You can walk in the light. Confession is nothing more than agreeing with God. And just ask God to show you. Ask God to lead you. So many times we just try everything else, nothing left to do now but to, you know, pray. Mm. But my Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Go to him first.
All right, Neil, important stuff, and this is why we need to do this series, because as you've experienced over these years, these spiritual forces are actually real, and they really do cause major havoc in people's lives. We'll connect up with you this time next week, and we'll go through the second step. Thanks for your time, Neil.
Thank you.
Neil Anderson is the Director of Freedom in Christ Ministries. We're doing this series on spiritual freedom, finding spiritual freedom. He's got these seven steps to freedom. Counterfeit versus real is what we've been talking about tonight, kind of choosing to renounce those past experiences of counterfeit spiritual guidance. The second step is deception versus truth. Where have we actually been deceived? We'll talk about that this time next week.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast, thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.